Schaff and Jared Smola of DraftSharks.com here to talk fantasy football keepers. And we're getting into the time of year when a lot of keeper leagues really get going for the new season. Jared, it's kind of that middle ground between redraft and dynasty where you keep a couple to a few players. That number can vary a little bit. You know, it's different than keeping your whole roster rolling that into next season like dynasty, where there are, I've certainly played with some people that don't want to bring your whole roster. They want to be able to change it up some while not throwing back everybody for the following season. So, you know, that's the benefit of having keepers versus just your straight redraft league. What that means, though, is decisions for most managers this time of year, because you should have more than just the minimal number of keepable players on your roster to choose from. If you don't, you had a really bad season last year. So we're talking two people that have decisions to make with their keeper rosters heading into this coming season. We actually gathered some real keeper decisions from actual managers. Jared put the call out yesterday. We collected some to talk about. Before we get to those players though, Jared, let's talk for a minute about how to make those keeper decisions. Like, you don't want to just make them by feel, right?
Definitely not. That's not how we do things around here. That's why we have this keeper tool. And honestly, like, some of these questions came in and I was like, I don't know the answer. Let's see what the tool says. And that sort of gave us an answer. And I think for the most part, I agree with what our tool says, which is always nice. But yeah, there are obviously a lot of variables when making these decisions. They seem like easy decisions, but the deeper you think about them, the more complex they can get. Variables, obviously league size and scoring system and starting requirements matter, but then how many keepers, the cost of those keepers, how long you can keep a player for, all that stuff needs to weigh into your decision of, you know, who to keep in these spots.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, especially if you've played for a while, you can go by feel, but like you said, all those variables change things and it's extremely difficult to just use your brain to properly calibrate all those factors that go into what makes one player more valuable than another. You could use keeper rankings. That's probably a little bit better than going by feel, but to me, keeper rankings are really more for the first time you draft into that keeper league, showing you the best value players to go for, guys who are going to have more value beyond this season. That's the difference between keeper rankings and regular rankings. But you really want to have something like what you just mentioned, the keeper calculator that we have on DraftSharks.com. You can go to the fantasy football tools menu, find it there. You not only compare two players against each other, that's the obvious basis for it, but you can also enter in whatever other details matter for it. Most prominently, the round cost for keeping that player. That's usually what you're giving up to keep a certain player. You know, you took this guy in whatever round last year, that's what it's going to cost this year to keep him. You don't get to pick a player in that round. Maybe it goes up a bit from where you got him last year, whatever that change is. You enter those factors in and you not only compare the values for those players this coming season, but also that additional cost to your team. And we'll get into some other costs that factor in as well. But let's get to those specific player comparisons and really, you know, show how it works and talk about how we feel about these players. Maybe we'll see if we would strictly follow all the results, which, like you said, I felt pretty good about the results that came out of using the keeper calculator to figure these things out, but we'll talk through each one. The first one is from a manager in a 10-team PPR league trying to decide between keeping Brock Bowers at a round 13 cost, Brian Thomas Jr. at a round 9 cost. Again, when I talk about that cost, if you keep Brock Bowers, then you give away your 13th round pick. Keep Brian Thomas Jr., give away your 9th round pick. Ran it through the keeper calculator on DraftSharks.com, entered each player as well as that specific round cost to keep him. And, you know, we don't know the specific pick slot, so we just kind of went middle of the round to get a general value here. I was a little bit surprised to see that Brian Thomas wins by a wide margin versus Bowers in this one.
I was a little surprised as well. I think my lean would have been Thomas before running this through our keeper calculator. I think the big thing at play here is that the calculator realizes that there's not a ton of difference between a round 9 pick and a round 13 pick. I know it feels like there is because that's four rounds, but when you get that deep into a draft, you know, it's not the same gap as a second round pick to a sixth round pick, right? The difference in value is going to diminish the further you get into draft. So I think the keeper calculator here is saying we have Brian Thomas ranked pretty clear ahead of Brock Bowers in terms of just straight up value for 2025. And that kind of supersedes any value you're losing by giving up a ninth round pick versus a 13th round pick. With again, it just is not that big of a difference.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I am certainly fine with the result here. I also, in this specific case, I wouldn't mind still leaning Bowers anyway. It is a smaller league, 10 teams versus 12 or more. So that boosts the value of the elite onesie starters, onesie being one starter position, tight end, quarterback. It's easier to fill out value at wide receiver here than it would be in a 12-team league or more. Also with these players, like maybe Brock Bowers is so good that he had this record-setting rookie year and is going to get better in year two. And maybe Brian Thomas Jr. actually has some trouble with Travis Hunter arriving. Like we've been talking about how I'm not overly worried that Travis Hunter is going to come in and challenge Brian Thomas Jr.'s role, but there's at least some chance that he does. Maybe he is just such a good wide receiver that he comes in and he's at least equal to Brian Thomas Jr. and maybe even the better of the two wideouts and whatever that means specifically for the target share. So there's some chance that Brian Thomas Jr. disappoints versus his standing and that Brock Bowers even outperforms his high standing in our rankings. So I think with that in mind, I would be okay with going Bowers, but I'm also fine with how the calculator spit out the answer here.
Yeah, you know, this player didn't mention whether he could keep guys beyond 2025. So, you know, that was not input into the calculator here. So, but to me, that wouldn't change the equation. I think Thomas has just as much potential long-term value as Brock Bowers. It is a good point you make, Matt, about these elite tight ends climbing in value a bit, the smaller your league is. But again, the keeper calculator is factoring that in. We told it this is a 10-team league, so that did boost Bowers' value. But again, we still have Brian Thomas as the better value straight up. And, you know, ninth versus 13th round, to us, it just makes sense to keep the better player in Brian Thomas.
Yeah, and we'll talk further on some of these other comparisons about how the calculator does a good job of not being like, oh, well, that's four rounds of difference, so obviously that leans it toward the other guy. The next setup is a 12-team league. We're keeping two players among three options. It is Brian Thomas Jr., again, at a round seven cost. I think we're going to be looking at a lot of Brian Thomas Jr. in these decisions heading into 2025. Next player is Ladd McConkey at a round 10 cost. Then we've got Kyren Williams at a round 12 cost. And Jared, once again, Thomas wins pretty handily. What do you think of the results here?
Yep, same deal here, where even though Thomas is most expensive, it's not a big enough gap to not keep Brian Thomas because he's costing you a seventh round pick. So it's to me, Brian Thomas is the easy first keeper here. Ladd McConkey round 12, Kyren Williams round 11. That one is close in my head. Now you go over and look at our overall rankings, and we have Kyren Williams ranked one spot ahead of Ladd McConkey. So the keeper calculator is seeing that. It's seeing that we're getting Kyren Williams two rounds later, and that makes it a pretty easy decision. Now, you know, to me, I could definitely argue, I think if you look at ceiling, I think Ladd McConkey, you know, we could look back at the end of 2025 and be like, you know, Ladd McConkey was this guy we definitely should have capped, whereas Kyren Williams, I don't think he has like that type of upside. But so I guess in this case, I would be okay making Ladd McConkey my second keeper. But I'm going to roll with the keeper calculator. I'm going to roll with our projections, and I would keep Kyren Williams in round 12 as my second guy here.
I'll also point out along the lines of what you were saying, there's less than one 3D value point separating Williams and McConkey here. So even though Williams does come out as the winner, it's close enough where if you're like, I just can't give up McConkey, it's close enough to be okay making that decision. I like Kyren Williams for 2025 better than you do. We've talked about that probably on here, but even more so offline. And he has showed us the upside to, you know, be among the top three scorers at the position. I know that there are different concerns this year. The Rams are talking a bit more about spreading touches around the backfield, but I'm leaning the other way from that, where I think that the market is factoring that in too heavily. And I think downplaying a little bit the chance that we just get the same level of usage for Kyren Williams that we got the past 2 years and do chase that upside. So for me, he's certainly one of the three that I'm keeping here, especially because I have, you know, minor concerns about the other two. I already mentioned for Brian Thomas Jr. with Ladd McConkey, it's kind of similar in that Trey Harris arrives to take, you know, to challenge targets some. Not that I think he's going to pass Ladd McConkey, but I think Trey Harris is probably better than what they had last year in terms of receivers. And this year, I think the Chargers are probably going to throw the ball less than they did last year. So I think just the whole target volume calculation is coming down some versus last season. So I like Kyren Williams among the two. I can kind of go either way between Thomas and Ladd McConkey. So I'd be following what the calculator says with Thomas as the keeper among the wide receivers. Next one is a pair of wideouts in the decision, and it is Malik Nabers for a second round pick or Jackson Smith and Jigba for a seventh round pick. And Jared, this is one of those decisions where I think a lot of people would look at it and be like, oh, five rounds difference. Yeah, I like Nabers, but I'm going to take JSN. But what do we find out here?
Yeah, Malik Nabers comes out as the pick here. And I think that I'm glad we got this keeper question because it brings up a key point for me, I think, in keeper leagues and a mistake people make. And especially in a league like this where you're only keeping one player, I think players sometimes overrate the value aspect here. Meaning, I think they might see JSN in the seventh as a better value than Malik Nabers. And he is, right? Like JSN's ADP is in round three or round four, whereas Malik Nabers, he's, you know, late round one, early round two. So you're not getting a ton of like pick value on Malik Nabers. But to me, and how I play keeper leagues, a lot of times, and especially when it's just one keeper, I just want to keep the best overall player, right? I think that's more important a lot of times. A couple other things to keep in mind here with Nabers specifically, where that second round pick is matters. Again, like you said, Matt, you know, we don't have that information from this player, so we just put it in as a mid second round pick. If we put this in the keeper calculator as pick 201, that might change the equation, and you know, JSN might be the keeper here. If we made it pick 212, that obviously boosts Malik Nabers even more, and he'd be an even clearer pick. So that definitely matters. Keep that in mind. And the other thing too to keep in mind is that, you know, you're going to lose a second round pick if you keep Malik Nabers here, but that's not actually a true second round pick because every team is keeping one player. And a lot of those keepers are going to be guys that would go in the first round of, you know, straight up redraft fantasy. So the second round pick is actually more like a third round pick when you, you know, take out those keepers. So that's definitely something to keep in mind too, when you're making these decisions.
And so let's start with this. Malik Nabers won pretty handily here. Keeper score has him up 16.8 to 13.7. Again, that's with the generic middle of each round for each player. So that would swing a little bit if you change the pick spots. But he's also nearly double Jackson Smith and Jigba in 3D value for this PPR format. So you're talking about a much better player. And I agree with you. A lot of times, managers factor in, like mentally factor in too heavily that difference in rounds. And I think the easy qualifier for it is the earlier player, like the player with the earlier pick that you have to give up. Think about whether you would take that player in that round. Like if I got Malik Nabers in round two, I would be ecstatic. So I don't have any problem with giving a second round pick to take Malik Nabers versus a seventh round pick to take JSN. I mean, sure, if I got JSN in round seven, I would be very happy about that. But if I don't get Malik Nabers back, then I'm giving back this difference maker to get back what I hope is a pretty good wide receiver. JSN certainly has some upside from where we have him ranked, but we also have him ranked below where the market has him right now. So that's something else to factor into how these scores come out. Definitely favor difference makers. And I think when there is a round difference like this, it's more of a tiebreaker between closely ranked guys as opposed to a reason to keep a lesser player over some guy that could really, you know, define your season.
Yeah, we say it all the time that, you know, upside wins fantasy championships. Most seasons come down to the handful of players that like smash, and that's what determines who wins your league. Now, like you said, Matt, we're lower than consensus on Smith and Jigba, which is feeding into, you know, this decision to keep Malik Nabers. If you are higher on him, if you think he has a chance to be that, you know, elite difference maker that wins fantasy championships, then the entire equation changes. But to me, I think we're maybe even a bit higher than consensus on Malik Nabers. Again, we're a bit lower on JSN. So it's a fairly easy decision for me, despite the, you know, extra cost to keep Malik Nabers. I think he's the guy I would keep here.
Next one, we're going to bump it up beyond the three players that we got before and take it to a four-player decision, 12-team, half PPR league. And yes, you can enter all of these players into the keeper calculator at the same time. You don't have to run separate calculations to figure it out. We've got Saquon Barkley at a round one cost. We've got T. Higgins at a round four cost. We've got Jonathan Taylor at round four, and then TJ Hockenson at round 15. And I think that round cost is really the only way that TJ Hockenson even gets into this decision. We'll talk about the results in a minute. First off, the winner among the four, if you're only picking one player, I'm not sure if we know how many players we're keeping out of this quartet, but if you are only keeping one, Taylor wins by a wide margin, a keeper score of 30.2, where the other three guys range from 19 down to 16.8. So that would be my first reaction to it. Even if before, if I didn't use the calculator, I'd be like, well, all right, I'm definitely keeping Jonathan Taylor in round four. And it seems like the calculation agrees with that.
My thinking here, TJ Hockenson would be a immediate toss for me. Just going back to what we talked about in that last example. Yes, TJ Hockenson is a good quote unquote value in round 15. He's just not a difference maker like these other three guys are likely to be in your fantasy lineup. So I would toss TJ Hockenson, Saquon Barkley. And I actually did it for this example when I was messing with this earlier this morning. You know, we have Saquon Barkley in here as pick 106. I changed it to pick 112 and he jumped up to second just behind Jonathan Taylor. So, you know, that shows you where that first round pick is that you're losing for keeping Barkley definitely matters. And again, the higher you go in drafts when you're getting it around one, that pick number matters a lot. So keep that in mind. You know, this person that submitted this question, go over to the keeper calculator, put in the actual pick and see what it spits out. But this for me would come down to Taylor and Higgins, guys who are going in round two in fantasy drafts. So you're getting two rounds of discount and you're getting two rounds of discount near the top of the draft. So you are getting big value on these guys. They're both guys who we have, you know, easily top 12 at their respective positions. So they have a chance to be difference makers. We have Jonathan Taylor straight up ranked as the better value over T. Higgins, which I agree with. So the fact that they're both going in round four, that's where Taylor would get the nod for me.
Mm-hmm. So like I said, Taylor is the first guy that I'm keeping. I agree with you on throwing out Hockenson. I really don't care that there's such a wide difference in his round cost and the other three guys. Even if I were just deciding between Barkley in the first and Hockenson in the 15th, there's just no way I'm throwing back Saquon Barkley so that I can keep TJ Hockenson, especially for a guy that is then going to go somewhere in round one anyway. So it would be between Barkley and Higgins for that second spot to go with Jonathan Taylor. I lean the same way as you. I would take Higgins in the fourth. I wouldn't be opposed to keeping Barkley in the first. If you're going into the season with Barkley and Jonathan Taylor as your backfield, you're in pretty good shape and you can play around with the other positions, especially for half PPR. But if I can go in and actually, we should consider maybe we don't have round four picks, like maybe by doing one round four guy, you then either have to throw back the other round four pick or keep T. Higgins at a round three cost. That could change things. So that could also be something that you then change in your calculator as you're figuring it out. If that is the case and you enter a round three cost for T. Higgins, that might then push Barkley ahead of him. And I could certainly see that decision being Barkley and Taylor at 1 and 4, as opposed to T. Higgins, Jonathan Taylor at 3 and 4.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll just reiterate where that pick is in round one matters to me. Like 106 might even be like kind of like the break even point. If I'm getting Saquon Barkley with, you know, anything past 106, that might be my pick. If I'm having to spend a, you know, top five overall pick to keep him, that would push me towards T. Higgins.
Yeah. Now, the one other factor that the calculator is not going to know is who's going to be available to you in your draft once all these players are kept. Like 106 or 103 or whatever that pick is in round one is going to be strong if everybody's available. But if you already know that your league is going to be keeping everybody that's, you know, realistically going among the top 18 picks in a typical draft, that's a lot different, you know, pick to either throw back or keep around. So make sure that you add that part in for yourself, knowing what's going to be available with that first pick.
Yeah, that's a great point. If possible, you always want to be the last person to submit your keepers, right? You want to see what the rest of the league has done in that department to know what the player pool is going to look like once your draft starts.
All right, next up, 12-team, half PPR. We've got Malik Nabers for a third-round pick, Lamar Jackson for a fifth-round pick, Brock Bowers for a seventh-round pick. We're going to see a lot more Bowers in these keeper decisions as well. And, you know, the fact that he's a tight end only makes it more challenging. In this case, Bowers actually edges Malik Nabers 25 to 22.6 in keeper score with Lamar Jackson following those two guys. I certainly agree with Lamar Jackson being third among these players. Nothing against him so much as being against quarterback, which I think you get less of an advantage with Lamar Jackson at quarterback versus either of these other two guys at their pick cost. I'm not sure what I would do with my team, Jared, between Neighbors and Bowers at these costs. I don't dislike Bowers having the edge over Neighbors at that 4-round difference.
Yeah, I'm with the calculator here. I think it would be Bowers for me. I think the difference between a 3rd-round pick and a 7th-round pick is big enough. Again, we talked about this, a similar situation, Bowers versus Brian Thomas. That was a 4-round difference, but it was round 9 versus round 13, and the calculator said Brian Thomas there, but here, 4-round difference, but it's just much higher in the draft. You're saving a lot of value moving down from that 3rd-round pick to the 7th-round pick. So even though we do have Malik Nabers as the better overall player, the value equation here, to me, and the calculator agrees, is enough. You're getting enough savings on Bowers to make him the pick.
And going from full PPR to half PPR devalues the receiver edge a little bit, because a lot of Nabers' value is in that volume. Obviously, he's good enough that he's going to produce probably on that higher volume, but it takes away some of the luster of that target volume that helps prop him up at the top of the board. So like I said, I might get there and be like, I just can't throw back Malik Nabers on my own team. But I think that it's the right calculation to say that Brock Bowers is the keeper among these three. You know, I'll use this opportunity to say, make sure it's your team. If you do get this, like if you're struggling, I don't know whether to keep Bowers or Nabers, run it through the calculator and, you know, go with Bowers because that is the better value. But if you're like, let's see what it says, you get to this point and you're like, I just can't throw back Malik Nabers. I wouldn't be able to live with myself this year if he is as good as I think he's going to be. Then keep Nabers. I mean, it's close enough that it's not a crazy decision to do that. You want it to be your team ultimately.
Yeah, you are not going to be upset with Malik Nabers for a 3rd-round pick. Like I can guarantee you that. So I would have no issue with Nabers. But if I'm picking here, it would be Bowers.
And if it does go wrong, you'd be like, crap, I should have listened to the Draft Sharks keeper calculator. And then the next year, you'll be all set to do it better. Final group, we're going to look at an auction league here, Jared. 12 teams, half PPR, super flex, $200 budget. We're keeping two players among the four being considered here. And of course, because it's auction, now we're not talking pick round. We're talking about auction cost. I'm assuming how much the manager paid for these players last year. That's what they're going to have to give up in initial auction budget to keep them this year. So we've got Drake London at $34. We've got Malik Nabers at $30. JJ McCarthy at $10 and Drake May at $6. Keep in mind, this is super flex, so the quarterback's a lot more important here than they would be in one QB formats. And we've got some clear winners here as well, Jared. Malik Nabers leads the way at a 14.4 keeper score, despite that super flex aspect of the scoring. Then we've got Drake May at 10.6, JJ McCarthy well behind him at 5.9 in keeper score, and Drake London finally at 3.0. I got to say, this is exactly how I would do it mentally if I were choosing the keepers here.
Okay, I guess I'm going to disagree with you and the calculator just a little bit. So for me, Drake London would be the toss. Just Drake London at $34 just doesn't compare to these other guys in terms of value, right? Now, for me, the first guy in would be Drake May for $6. I just think it's a super flex league. I really want to keep at least one quarterback in the setup. And Drake May for $6 is an awesome value. Now, I probably would lean Nabers over McCarthy. So I guess in the end, we're both keeping Nabers and Drake May. But for me, the decision is more Nabers versus McCarthy. And this is a case where my final decision might come down to either what I project my league to keep or what I actually know my league is going to keep. Meaning if I'm in a super flex keeper league where each team gets to keep three players, and you go into that draft and there are very few quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks available to take. So if your league is like that, and this one's a little different because it's only keep two players, so there can only be 24 quarterbacks capped and there probably won't be 24. But if you think it's going to be like close to 24, that might push me towards McCarthy as the second keeper. Just have those two locked in starting quarterbacks for cheap and then, you know, kind of be able to load up elsewhere. I see you shaking your head now.
No, because I think that you're falling into the trap that we built this keeper calculator to avoid. I can understand the logic of saying I'm set at quarterback, especially if the league is keeping three players per team. But to throw back Malik Nabers so that I can head into the season with Drake May and JJ McCarthy as my two starting quarterbacks, I just think it's a big mistake. I think keeping Drake May certainly makes sense. And we could quibble over whether Drake May at six or Malik Nabers at 30 is a better value. I would love to keep both of those. And certainly when I read this, knowing that I was keeping two players, I was like, well, I'm definitely keeping Drake May at $6. It's all about difference makers versus position fillers. Yeah, you need two quarterbacks, but I think for it to even be close between McCarthy and Malik Nabers, you have got to think that JJ McCarthy is heading for at least a top 12 quarterback season.
Yep, and I know I'm higher on McCarthy than you are, so that's part of the difference here. As I'm thinking through this too, the fact that this is an auction league and not a draft, I think makes it easier to not keep that second quarterback because in auction, right, you know, you have a chance to get any other quarterback available you want. It's not the case in a draft. If you're picking, you know, 112 in the draft and there's only six starting quarterbacks left and they all go before you at 112, you're screwed. But in an auction, you have a chance to get a starting quarterback. So we're landing on the same two keepers here. It would be Drake May and Malik Nabers for me.
Yeah, and we're using the keeper calculator to help you make sure not to make the JJ McCarthy mistake in this decision. If you've got a tough keeper decision to make, then hit the keeper calculator on DraftSharks.com, just like we did for all of those actual keeper decisions that we pulled from our audience. Enter the specifics of your decision. Check out the detailed results that it's going to spit out for you. The keeper calculator is just another way that DraftSharks is your unfair advantage.